And I've got to tell you, I have up here what I call my hamster in the wheel, and he is always running. And a lot of we lawyers have this hamster, and it can be very helpful. You know, it makes us persistent. We can stay up, you know, for a week straight and get a case tried. We can stay up all night to get that brief finished. But my hamster was also a real jerk. And my hamster would tell me things like, you're a phony. Your daddy got you everything. You're not smart. And if anyone ever knew who you really were, they would never accept you. And what is so interesting about that maladaptive narrative, those lies, that hamster, that I absolutely believed everything that I was hearing inside my head. But what's so interesting about what was inside my head versus what was actually going on in my life was my life looked great. I had support. My goodness, if I was gluing a pinto bean on a piece of construction paper, my parents were there telling me I was Picasso. I was successful. I was well-liked. I was smart enough to get in and out of UT law school and pass the bar. But that's what's so tricky about depression. That is what is so tricky about anxiety, is that, you know, our brains tell us weird and very wrong things when they get to a certain point. You know, this can be caused by exhaustion. You know, a story that a friend shares that I think is so interesting and explains this so well is that when we are freezing to death, our brains, because of the trauma and the stress that it is under, tells us we are burning up and we take off our clothes. And the reason why I share that is, you know, when our brains are tired, when our brains are exposed to stress, it tells us really harmful things that are not good for us. And certainly my brain, when I got stressed out and anxious, you know, told me, you know, that ending my life was an option. And depression and anxiety is just, it's a strange bird. I remember the first time I took a drink of alcohol, I was in the high school parking lot at Westlake High School here in Austin. That's before it got fancy. There were dirt roads out here. I went to high school and the earth was still cooling. And I remember that first drink of alcohol I took, I hated it. We were passing a bottle around in a circle. It made my eyes burn. It made my throat burn. But for the first time in about 20 minutes, for the first time in my life, that hamster quit running. Those voices were gone. I didn't care what you thought about me. I didn't care what I made on my history exam. It was freedom. My love affair with substances began that day. And I drank to escape from the very beginning. Those of you that have a couple glasses of wine with your steak and you're done, oh my gosh, congratulations. That is wonderful. That approach to drinking never entered my mind. I always drank to alter the way that I felt. And that was certainly sadness, anger, stress. But it was also happiness, because I didn't believe I deserved to be happy. And I remember very well, you know, coming forward a couple of times and maybe starting to talk about my depression a little bit, and very well-meaning people. And I want to say very clearly, I blame no one for my depression. I blame no one for my suicide attempt. But, you know, I do remember people trying to be helpful, you know, and say, you know, how can you be depressed? You're so blessed. And they were right. I mean, I was blessed. I had a roof over my head. I had a successful career. I had a family that loved me. But my thought and how I interpreted that was, wow, Erica, if you can't be happy with all of these blessings, you're broken. And I felt like it was a failure on my part, that I was somehow failing at being well. And now, of course, we all know so much more about depression and anxiety, and we know that it can be, you know, a chemical imbalance, that it can be exposure to prolonged stress. But, you know, at the time, I truly thought I was broken, that I was failing at not being happy. Went to the University of Texas undergrad, absolutely loved it. UT was not unlike any other college experience. It was had an impressive drinking culture. It was very easy for me to look around and think that I was drinking like everybody else. You know, I wasn't, I was making wonderful grades. I was in a relationship. My friendships were great. So in my mind, everything was just going swimmingly. I didn't experience any effects from my excessive drinking. But I'm pretty sure that most of my UT colleagues were not famous at the Austin Police Department for calling in their car stolen because they had driven it home the night before in a blackout and totally forgotten that they had driven it and had forgotten where they had parked it. But that was a very regular occurrence for me. Then law school happened. And I don't have to tell anybody here what a stressful experience law school can be. And if you've got a hamster in the wheel that is telling you your daddy got you everything, you don't belong, you're an imposter, you're not smart enough, you shouldn't be here, even though I took all the exams everybody else did to get into UT law, you know,